Everyone is good? Can you hear me well? Cool. Okay, so I'm a bit stressed because like my session is just after Scott and like he raised the bar a bit high. And yeah, I need to keep the pace. So just to present myself very quickly, I'm Yassin Sorain or Yassin Sarhan. I'm from Morocco, coming from Morocco. I'm very excited to be here with you in Kenya. And I'm a technical evangelist. I'm working basically on Azure and everything related to data. I'm doing machine learning and basically data platform. So if you have any questions related to machine learning, please reach out to me. Today, what I want, there is like one big objective I have is that you guys know machine learning, the opportunities regarding machine learning, how you can use it very easily, and basically all what you can do with machine learning and cloud services. So basically I'm just going to ask some few questions to know you a bit. How many data scientists we have here in the audience? No one? Developers? Cool. Database guys? Very nice. Cool. And the others? I saw some people like not raising hands, okay. Cool, that's very nice. So basically the agenda will be just talking about like a kind of a case study, then basically what is machine learning business scenarios, what can we do with machine learning, some few scenarios. How to do the machine learning, like I guess you will hear a lot about machine learning, and I will be repeating a lot the word machine learning, and if you have noticed that I repeated at least 50 times starting my session. Then introduction into Azure machine learning and some few Azure services. Then we will go into a very nice demo that will cover everything related, well, it will cover machine learning and some Azure services. So, first, I want to tell you a bit about this company called Sustainalytics. This company does a lot of research regarding sustainability. And let's say that they had a lot of issues regarding processing data. So they have a lot of analysts, guys, that receives a lot of data. Then they have to process all this data. Sometimes it's not the quality data and so on. And basically with machine learning, they were able to filter this data to keep only the relevant data for them to do the research on it. And basically if we look into some numbers, they were able to increase the release of the relevant data by 40%, which could help them like be more productive. Well, by saying more productive, they were able to, let's say, to reduce the time in use time of their analysts. Let's say that they have like 120 analysts, they were able to raise the productivity by 60%, which is like a huge number. And all this thanks to machine learning, which could help them to basically say, whatever, this data is good, this data is not good, it is not usable, and so on. So basically, what is machine learning? If we look at it from, let's say, Microsoft's point of view, it's the ability to make machines smarter. From my point of view, let's talk first about the general point of view. Let's say that machine learning, if we look at it, we will say, oh, it's artificial intelligence, how machines can interact with people. And, well, it's a kind of machine learning. But in my point of view, it's like how to teach a baby to do a certain tasks. For example, if we look about the real scenario and you tell a baby, this is fire, that's not a relevant information for him. But if this baby will touch the fire and it burns him, that's from an experience. And from that experience, he will learn that fire, it's something bad. So this is one. And basically, for machines, we're going to teach them to do a certain task. They don't know anything about this task. So we're going to give an experiment to this machine. And an experiment, basically, it's a data, so past data, something that happened in the past, plus a human input. Well, basically, if we say fire, plus bad. So fire, it's a data, and bad is a human input. So this machine will learn the fact that fire is bad, and it can burn stuff and so on. And we can use this in different scenarios. Like, for example, let's talk about spams. This email is a spam. This email is not a spam, and so on. And in order, for example, to do this kind of learnings, so these are just some few scenarios like anomaly detection, churn prediction, text analysis, and clustering. Let's talk about anomaly detection. And like in anomaly detection, we can do it can be used for different scenarios. Maybe it can be used for detecting spams. Like these are normal emails. But the moment we have a different kind of email, like I guess you guys are familiar with spams, you know if you read an email, you can do the difference between whether like this is an authentic email and this is a spam. Usually you receive an email like saying, hey, I'm a prince of this country, I have some money to send you, and so on. You're familiar with those kind of emails. So that for you as a human, you can know literally that, yeah, this is a spam, I'm not going to read it, or and so on. But a machine doesn't know that. But if you can tell this machine all the spams or all the emails that will tell me I'm a spam, this is the plane that crashed and so on, and I have an amount of money to send you and I'm requesting a credit card and so on or a bank account, are spams. The machine will learn from all this data and say, okay, whenever I will find something that is similar to this kind of emails, I will just flag it as a spam. Well, so this is like some kind of anomaly detection, but it can also be used in anomaly detection. Let's say that we will do some in manufacturing bottles. There is a sensor that can detect whether a bottle is normal. So it has like let's say a flow that of all the bottles that have been manufactured, and then at some point, there is a bottle that, let's say, I don't know, like it is cracked or something. It can detect it and it say, okay, this is not normal. This is an anomaly. It will. So this is some kind of anomaly detections in the machine learning scope. There is churn prediction, which comes like, for example, it is used in different scenarios, like predicting wherever a client will be, will change his subscription, will go to another carrier, for example, and so on. We have text analysis, and the demo today we'll be doing will be about text analysis. For example, we can do sentiment analysis wherever whether this person, which is writing a certain text, is angry, is she happy, and so on. And we have also clustering, and clustering basically is like where you have a lot of data, and you, let's say I don't know, a million data on books. For categories, you don't know how to categorize this data, and you will simply take this 1 million book titles and maybe with certain informations, and give it to a machine and tell this machine, "Hey, just regroup these books in categories." And the machine will what will do? It's like it will take all these informations and see this, some similarities between them and try to regroup them into clusters. For example, you will have cluster 1, cluster 2, and so on. Machine learning, basically, it's a lot of maths. It's a lot of maths. And when we look at it, I will say it's a kind of a function like fx equals y. And the y is the information we are seeking. For example, if we want to do a simple addition, we will use two parameters, A plus B, which will give us the Y. And we will assume that X is a couple of A and B. But let's go to another, to machine learning. Machine learning, again, it's some kind of predictions where the X is a lot of parameters. For example, we want to predict whether someone who enters a shop is going to buy the product or not. And here, like, I will try to, we will brainstorm a bit around it. When someone, as a human, when someone gets into a shop and you look at him, how do you feel this person is going to buy something or not? What are the questions, like, you will be asking yourself? And machine learning is all about asking the right questions. So what are the parameters that you will be looking at, for example? Some examples. Okay, let me give the first one. Age, for example. Is this person mature enough to be able like to buy something on his own? Some examples? Yes? Yes, that too. Exact. So what is he wearing? What else? Something, yes? Gender, yes, that can be helpful too. Money, this person has enough money. Income, there are a lot of parameters that we can look into. So here, for example, just put some age, income, marital status, children. For example, if this person came with his wife, assuming it's a male, so this person came with his wife. So his wife usually, yeah, I'm not assuming anything here, will push him, please buy this. And basically, we will use all this data in a certain function that will get us a result between, for example, 0 and 1. 0, this person will not buy, and 1, this person will certainly buy. But usually, can you still hear me? Yeah, perfect. Usually, it will be something like 0 point something, and we will try to threshold it to be like certain whether this person will buy or not. So, is it clear so far? Cool. So basically, when I ask this question, is it clear so far? I have two possibilities: whether everything is clear and you have no clear question, or you haven't understood anything and you're like just sitting here watching the slides. So machine learning has a certain flow. You heard me talking a lot about data and asking the right question. So first, when we are going to start the machine learning flow, like, for example, we want to do some certain machine learning in a company. Let's say that, for example, I am a manufacturer and I want to do machine learning for predictive maintenance. So the first question the first thing I will have to do is define the objective. The objective is I want to do predictive maintenance. Why predictive maintenance is maybe like to know whether my machines are going to break after a certain amount of time. So in order to do this predictive maintenance, I will have to go look for some data. How many data do I have? And when looking into machine learning, we need a big amount of historical data. When looking into historical data, we're talking about 1, 2, 3 years of historical data. With like a kind of experiment. So we need also the human input. So, for example, let's say that we do a certain collection of data. This machine ran for around 2 months, and then it broke. And this is the piece that broke. So we need like to log this, and so on. We need to prepare this data. So basically, yeah, when we have this kind of data, it's not certainly something we can use directly in machine learning. We need like to transform it, to remove the data that is useless. For example, if we look into the previous example, if someone, whether he's going to buy or not, we assembled some kind of data, but there is some kind of data that is useless, like, for example, the name of the person. It's not going to change anything to the learning, so we will simply remove it. Then after that, after preparing the data, we will develop the model. Like, this is the when developing the model, we are talking about scripting or maybe just using some kind of algorithm and so on. Then we will train the model, and by training the model, we're talking about training the machine, like giving it the data. This is the algorithm that is going to be used. Now please go learn your stuff and come back when you have learned everything. Then after training the model, we have like, the screen is not very clear here. I don't know if we can change the colors. Is it clear enough for you? Yeah, it's clear. So basically, after training the model, we will evaluate this model. Is it good enough for our use to do the training and everything related to that? After evaluating, we will publish the model. Now the model is ready to be used. Like, the machine is ready to do the job we wanted it to do at first. So we will simply integrate it in our applications, maybe in our ERP, in specific applications we are creating, maybe in a bot. It depends on wherever we want to create it. But the publishing, like simply making this model available, maybe as a web service on the internet or locally. And then after publishing, we will have the ability to monitor and operate this machine learning system. And for example, if the output is not okay, we will simply go back to the first step, which is defining the first objective. Oh yeah, I got it here. In machine learning, there are some kind of roles we are looking in. This is why basically when I started the session, I asked you, are there any data scientists in the room? Because machine learning will need some kind of data scientist expertise, where we will say, okay, I can use this data for this kind of work. This data, yes, is useful for me. Now we need more information in it. We need to transform it this way and so on. So these profiles are kind of necessary in machine learning. And this profile basically will have maybe some mathematics, statistic background and so on. Then there is the second profile, the data professionals. We're talking about those guys that are experts in database, that are able to do some smart queries. And yeah, smart queries was also like be proficient in BI and so on. And software developers, the guys that are going to take all this learning, for example, the APIs and integrate it into their apps, which would make the apps more intelligent, have some kind of logic and so on. So three profiles are very important for machine learning. And today we're looking into cloud-based machine learning. Like, I will again ask another question. Have you already done machine learning before? Anybody here? Cool. Can you, did you do it on MATLAB and so on? With the classic way? Oh, yes. Very nice. And how long did it take, like, to really long? How long? Can you give it, like, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days?
An hour.
So it was something simple. Yeah. So I have already did some tests before with something very complex. It was, like, object detections in images. So for example, whenever I give an image to a computer, it will tell me, oh, there is a bottle, there is a table, there is a human in this image. And this kind of machine learning is very complex, and it took me between 1 week and 3 weeks for different learnings. So imagine you have a computer or a high-power computer which is processing all this data to do this kind of learnings. Today, with the cloud-based machine learning, you can benefit with the power of cloud to do everything. And basically, all this work that could take 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or maybe 1 hour for something very simple, it could take few seconds, few minutes, or maybe few hours. And yeah, we will see an example later. So basically, we'll benefit from all the power of the cloud, the elasticity and the pay as you go, and we can use different algorithms directly from the cloud without coding or scripting anything. How we are different? We are making things simple, everything in one platform. Like we can use our the Microsoft Cloud Platform Azure to store the data, to do any big data analysis, and we can simply use channel everything to the machine learning to get the models and the learning. And basically, today the service that we're providing for machine learning is Azure Machine Learning Service. We have the data, and this data can be hosted anywhere, like it can be on premise and or even on the cloud, and we can use it like whether it is from on blobs, tables, on Hadoop, on different databases, and then we can simply integrate it on the machine learning studio. After that, like after doing all the scripting, all the machine learning thing, we can publish the API, and then this API we can either integrate it in an application, or we can do even better if For example, I did a specific kind of learning that I can propose or publish to the public. I can put it on marketplace and monetize it so that people can come and consume the web services I published, and I can get money out of it. So previously, we talked about some simple kind of scenarios. But with Azure Machine Learning, you can extend that to, for example, weather forecasting. And when I say weather forecasting, it's like anyone of you today can go to the platform and do this kind of stuff. We can do predictive maintenance, social network analysis, fraud detection. Like, you have a huge kind of scenarios that you can do on it. And this is not limited to the scenarios I have listed here. Like, you can imagine anything you can do in machine learning, you can just come and do it on the cloud. And just a quick brief on what we have as services today on the cloud. Let's say that we're covering around 32 regions with 24 data centers. I think that you're already familiar with our cloud platform, Azure. Yes, there are some hands up. So very briefly, Azure, today we are covering 32 regions, 24 data centers. Each data center is around like 11 football stadiums of servers virtualized. And so on top of this, we are providing some services like infrastructure services and platform as a service services. We have some data services, SQL databases. Like, I don't have to set up an SQL server or anything. I can just come to the cloud and say, hey, I want a database, an SQL database, and the cloud will provide me with this SQL database. We can have host some web apps, mobile backend, have some notifications, do some DevOps. So we have plenty of services for specific for DevOps, do some analytics and IoT. So there is, for example, a service, IoT Hub, that is specific just to plug in the IoT components, do some Power BI with, some BI with Power BI, and so on. And there is also machine learning, which is like the service we will be looking into more today. And so what I'll be doing now is going for a demo. I hope I left enough time for the demo. And before going into the demo, do you have some questions so far? Everything is clear? Cool.
The services, do you charge for that, or is it?
Yes, so the services on the cloud are all on a pay-as-you-go basis. Yes, exact. So today, what we'll be doing as a demo, I thought about something very exciting that could use different services. And what we'll be doing basically is like going to Twitter and get all your tweets from which has, like, for example, the next tech hashtag, and see what you guys think today or around all this conference. What are your sentiments regarding this conference? And for that, I'm going to use different services from the cloud. But first, what I will do is I will start with the machine learning. So for machine learning, we have, it's part of Azure, and we can access it very easily with Azure ML, studio.azureml.com. Oops. Oh, .net. Oh. So this is, I think, comes from the projector. Can you intensify the colors from the projector, please? Yeah, it's you're right, it's a bit bright. Oh, there is no sound. Yeah. So I have my account. I will just sign into it. Oops. for meanwhile. Yes, sorry. Oh. Let's put contrast in the middle and maybe less brightness. Go to the brightness option and put it also at 30. Oh, no, now it's clear. Oh, the further resolution is okay. I can like zoom in from. Okay, so we'll try the best resolution for this screen. Apply. All good. Okay. Looking good? Perfect. So basically, I will go, for example, open my machine learning subscription. Or maybe I can just come here and say, I want to do some machine learning. And this is how cloud works. I want to do machine learning. And basically, Azure will come and say, OK, this is a service I have for machine learning. What do you want to do on it? I'm going to create a new workspace. I will have the with our cloud platform, I will have the ability to choose where I want to put my data. So this is one big advantage we have here. So for example, I want to put my data in West Europe, maybe in South Central US and so on. So I will keep something really close, West Europe. I will put a name to my workspace. Let's put, for example, Kenya or Nairobi. Just put this workspace and so on. Nairobi storage, everything is fine. Just click on create. Oops. And then we'll select a pricing tiers. Like what kind of, is it a medium free option or a paid option? I will go for a paid so we can have more compute power. And click on create. So now Azure will go ahead and create our cloud space where I can go and upload my data whatever I want. And what we will do from this side, like I will go and fetch data from Twitter. Before I do that, so I need first to fetch the data from Twitter and then put it through a stream. Well, basically an analytics stream. On Azure, transform this data and then push it to maybe an application or maybe push it, for example, here. What I will do is like I will push it to Power BI so we can see everything on real time. So first I will go create an event hub. And the basically here what I want to do is like how we can do everything here with almost no coding and in less than 30 minutes. So first I will create my event hub, and I will just name it Ruby. Hopefully it's free. Then I will use an existing resource group. I'll just keep it on testing, for example. Create. I will also create my stream analytic. The good part with Stream Analytics, so I can, after that, push my data, maybe on Power BI, and even I can push it on a database after transforming it. I'm lost into inspiration, so I will just put Nairobi everywhere I can do. Hey, that also shows how excited I am about Nairobi. Like it's kept, it is reasoning in my head for the past 4 days. Okay, so we have the event hub, which is already created. Again, Nairobi events. I will create it. And I will get some data from here, like for example, the connection string and the name of my event hub, which are two components that I will need to push the data into it. Okay, all good. So we'll take the connection string, I will copy it and keep it somewhere. And then we will go and create the logic app. Logic app basically are kind of triggers and actions based apps. So as you see on Azure, I will just have to like think on about what service I want and simply go ahead and create it. So again, Nairobi logic app. I put it in this resource group and location North Europe. Okay, create it. Basically, when using Azure, like it doesn't take a lot of time for any service to be created, like really few seconds. And this is one of the big benefits. It's like we can benefit from the go-to-market. Like if we have a project, we don't have to install anything, just use the services and be ready to go on the market right away. So here's the logic app. And on logic app, what I will do, I will tell it, go ahead, fetch the data from Twitter and push it. Well, I will use Twitter. When a new tweet is posted, yes, this one. The thing we want to look for is Next Tech Africa. And then the frequency of checking them, I want it to be like each 3 seconds, or let's put it each 20 seconds. Then after that, I will add an action. On this action, I want to push the data to Event Hub. And then basically, Event Hub will ask me for the connection string, which I got earlier. Then after that, the Event Hub name. So it was a very difficult name, Event Hub Nairobi event. And then after that, the messages we want to send. The data we'll be getting from Twitter is like the description of the tweet, the location of the tweet, media URLs, name, original tweet, and so on. There are a lot of data that we can get out of it. But from my end, I will just look into some specific data. For example, I want the location, and I will try to put all these in a JSON format. So first we'll do the location. Then I'm looking also for the tweet text, which is very important. Let's go for the tweet text. Then I will put when was it created, so created at. We'll simply see more here and I will find it, created at. Oh, heard it. And maybe I will add the original tweet, the guy who sent the tweet. So let's put it as user. Or just name. Yeah. Perfect. So we have all our data. I will click on save. And basically here, logic apps will start each 20 minutes retrieving all the tweets that has the hashtag NXTA or Next Tech Africa, and retrieving them and sending them to Event Hub. So push run, run the trigger. Yeah, all good. After that, I will come here to my stream. Now we know that the data will go and flow in the Event Hub. I will go to the Nairobi stream and tell it add an input, so as a source of data. So we'll put an input alias on my input, keep it very simple. The data comes from Event Hub, but it can come also from IoT Hub, like for example, if I have a stream of data coming from the IoT components or from blob storage, if we are storing the data on blob storage. Then afterwards, we'll keep it, service bus, Nairobi Hub, Nairobi Event, keep everything as it is. So as I told you a few minutes ago, the good parts on Azure is like everything is centralized and I don't have like to go and create everything from scratch. So here we have one input. I can set the output. For example, I want my output to be on Power BI or maybe store the data on another database. And I will give it like a simple name again, my output. Create. Oops. So here I want it to go to, so I can set it on SQL database, blob storage, or a data lake store. Here I want it to be on Power BI. I would have to give it the authorization to use my own Power BI subscription. So here I'll be using my Microsoft email. Just give it a few seconds to connect. It notified me, and then it will simply get the authorization to use Power BI from Azure directly. Okay, it's taking some time. I will just leave it there for some moment. It's still taking time. Or maybe I will try it again. So meanwhile, I will go ahead and check the Azure Machine Learning Studio and show you how we can very easily, in few clicks, set up a learning environment. So first, I will head to my workspace Nairobi. And I will access my workspace, launch Machine Learning Studio. So I need to sign in. Okay, so I need to sign in with my personal email address, not this one. So try to use another browser, maybe. Yeah, sorry, I have to do it. Azure ML, I have the Edge one. It's in private, so the address is studio.azureml.net. Sign in. And I will put my personal address here. And by doing that, I will have access to all the workspaces that were either people invited me to or my own workspaces. So for example, if I have my own workspace, I can go ahead and invite some colleagues who might be able to help me on maybe setting up my environment, setting up the learning, and everything. So here, this is the part where I blame it on the internet connection. Come on, we can do it. Yeah, it's a kind of a heavy portal. So imagine that you have all the kinds of algorithms that you can just come and run them here. So basically, as I told you before, we have the experiments. Like for example, I can run an experiment on the cloud. We have a specific place for projects, the web services I published. I want to create a new experiment that I still don't know yet what I will be doing in it. This is just for example. Then after that, we'll do the sentiment analysis one very quickly. So if I want to run a new experiment, basically you see that you have some kind of tutorials here or quick setup here. For example, Azure will ask me that, hey, go ahead and drag your items here. By items, we're talking about the data input. Maybe the data is coming from the web, maybe from an Excel file, and so on. So there are different sources from where I can get the data. And then afterwards, simply I will come here and drag and drop some different components, maybe for transforming the data, for training the data, and so on. Let's say that I have some kind of saved data here already. Yeah, seems like I do. I will come and drag it. So I have already some market data. I will come and do some data transformation on this data here, manipulation, add some columns, add some rows. So you have really different kind of data. Yeah, they are telling me that I have 5 minutes to go. I will try to speed up a bit. Let's say, for example, I want to add some columns. I will come here, drag and drop, connect both these two, add columns, what type of data we want to add on these columns, and so on. And basically after like that, I can go ahead, let's say that I want to apply a kind of algorithm. Let's say that it's neural networks. I will just come here, two class neural networks, connect, keep it here, and then train some data, train model. So the action of training the model with this algorithm. Oops. Here I will tell, so Azure, here is my data, here is the model I wanted to be trained, and so on. And normally, in doing machine learning, it doesn't go this way. So we know that we don't have a big amount of data, and what happens is like, we take this data, we split it on two, we make the first set, the training set, and we make another set from this data, which is like the testing set, in order to evaluate the data. If you remember on the machine learning flow, we have different set of steps, and one of them was evaluating the model. And after training the model, we will simply like go ahead doing the evaluation, and then after that, I will publish my model. And this is what we'll be doing right now. So what I will do is like I will head to we have a gallery where people stored their machine learning experiments, and I will go ahead in here and say, for example, I want sentiment text analysis. So we have some different kind of machine learning already available kind of algorithm, like one for vehicle telemetry analytics and so on. I'll come here, sentiment analysis. There is a sentiment analysis for emails, and what I'm looking for is something for Twitter. There is already one published by a certain Prashant Kumar. Thank you. I don't know where you are in the world, but thank you for your help. I will ask the gallery to open it on my experiment, so I will be able to edit it. So on which workspace I want it. So let's say I want it on the one which is in West Europe. It's named Nairobi, yes, on this workspace. And I will come here and change my workspace to the one in Nairobi. And basically, like, by doing this, I'm getting the data, like, not getting, but like, I'm borrowing the data from this guy and all the algorithm that was already set, and I will simply come, maybe do some edits on the algorithm if I don't like it a lot, or if I don't have any edits to do, I will simply run it and say, okay, this is the learning I want, run it, and after that, I will come, go ahead and publish it on my cloud platform. And after publishing it on the cloud platform, I will simply come and use it on my application as a web service, so we'll have the API published and everything. Come on, go ahead. You can load. Yes. So, yes, this is like a kind of a bit of complex kind of algorithm. So you see here that we have, let me zoom in. So we have here the data entry. It comes from a web service. We import the data. Then we can execute some R scripts on it. If we want to do our own kind of edits on the data, we can do it with R or maybe with Python, whatever we are familiar with. After that, we can edit the metadata on these features, edit these features, sorry. Split the data, as I told you before, into like the test and the production, the test and the training data. We will train the data with a different model. So here, for example, we use two class support vector machine. Then we score the model, we evaluate the model, we choose like the best possible case for this model. And then after that, I can simply here come and click on run. By clicking on run, here it is like just the, we just did the scripting. Like we scripted our algorithm, and then after that, we need to tell the machine, go ahead and learn from this algorithm here. So if you notice here, we can see different steps where the machine, where the cloud is actually. Like for example, it is spending on the importing import data. So it is importing actually the data, and then afterwards, we can see some check marks like the one now on import data, and it will go to the next step, and so on till it goes through all the steps available here. I think it will take around 2 minutes to finish everything. So there is a really huge amount of data for this training, and it will take around 2 minutes to finish up. Afterwards, we can simply come here and let me zoom in a bit. If you see here on the bottom of the screen, there is set up the web services. So we will set up the web services which we can include directly on the application, and after that we can publish it to our cloud platform. So unfortunately, they are asking me to stop the presentation, although I would love to continue a bit more, like there are, to see all the graphs on Power BI and everything. But this is something that you can do very easily on the platform. As you can see, we can easily get the data from the cloud and everything and start doing some learning and training on it. And this is like even a student can today come and do it. If you have questions, you're welcome. Otherwise, I'm actually obliged to stop here. Yes, please. Sorry?
Sample walkthroughs for...
Yes, you do have some simple walkthroughs that are available for this. Let me zoom out. Do you know about Microsoft Virtual Academy?
Yes.
Yes, so simply go there and look for machine learning, and you will have different kind of step-by-steps to do some kind of simples. Otherwise, you can simply, well, I would have to say it, simply Bing it. And let's say, for example, Azure ML. Azure ML step by step. And it will give me some different kind of step by steps to do on Azure Machine Learning. They, for example, improve data mining, and there are a lot of different scenarios that we can do today on it. There is also like the gallery that I showed you, the Cortana Analytics Gallery. Like, I will just look for it here. Cortana Gallery, which has different kind of scenarios and which we can use for this kind of learning. Let's assume, for example, I want to do vehicle telemetry. So this is a whole packed kind of solution, end to end, and we can have here all the details regarding this this experiment with the graphs, like how it goes, the requirements, and the step by steps. Yes, please. Nothing stupid. Please go ahead.
Who or what provides the machine feedback, like getting its learning correct or wrong when it's not self?
Okay, so we have two kind of possibilities. There is one where there is like another component on the Azure Machine Learning, which can go ahead and do different evaluations and see which is the best and tell you, okay, these are the parameters for the best outcome with this kind of algorithm. The second option is like you're good at that and you can say, for example, okay, this kind of evaluation, they are good. Maybe I will tweak it by changing these kind of parameters. Maybe if I'm using neural networks, I will use 3 nodes, 4 nodes in it, and so on. There is also another like a kind of evaluation where we can use different training models. Like, let's say I will use neural networks, I will use vector SVMs or support vector machines, I will use binary tree classifications with the same algorithms and do an evaluation of three of them or a kind of a benchmarking. And after that, I can say, okay, this is the best one, and maybe I will go deeper in this one. Yes, please.
I'm sorry, but I'll have to cut you short. I am so sorry. We are running on a very tight program. So right now it's time for lunch. Then we have another session that is right after this. But for any questions, please see him after this.
Yes, please. Reach out to me offline.
You can go maybe another 15 minutes for those who want to stay and those who want to go.
Yeah, please.
So if you can go out with your Power BI session for those who want to stay.
Yep, we can do that.
If you're interested, you can stay and ask questions. But right now it's time for lunch. And our lunch period will be ending at 1:30. Yeah.
Perfect. Yes. Yes, please. Oh, yes. Yes. Well, on my side, so let's say that the machine learning part will be a bit separate than in the other components, but we will integrate machine learning with stream analytics and like transform the data while they go through the stream analytics pipes. So this is like the objective here. Does it answer the question? Perfect. Okay, so we created the output. We'll just wait for it to deploy. Or maybe I missed something here, I think. Oh, okay, I need to set the output first. So I guess it should be ending very soon for the learning. After that, we'll be able to publish it, to publish the web service and be able to test it directly from the cloud here. Yeah, it took more than 3 minutes. And we will be able to get it from the functions here on the stream analytics. So we'll be simply coming to this place and say, oh, I want to add a new function that I have just created and which is hosted on my Azure subscription, which is the one on Azure ML. So if you can see there, so I will, I will put it as sentiment, function type, Azure Machine Learning, on the same subscription, and then it will simply go ahead and detect the function I have created before, which is still actually learning. So let's give it some time. So far, no questions? All clear? Cool. Okay, going to the last step. Cool.
While it's working away.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, sure. Please.
Things like normalizing the data you're going to get. Can you do that within Azure, or do that first in R or something?
I would prefer to do it into Azure because we are talking about editing the data again. So maybe it's better to do it on the cloud, to do it on Azure, because like it's the cloud platform and all this processing will be done directly on the cloud servers. So I don't think there is a need to do it previously and normalize the data, like maybe putting it between 0 and 1 and so on. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Let's see if I can get it to happen here on the training experiment. So we are already run the experiment, and let's say that I can go to the feature hashing, for example, look at it and say, I want to visualize the data. After doing like a lot of processing on it. Okay, internet is not helping me today. Try to do it again. Do it back. Visualize, please. I'll change the page and go back and see. Somehow, oh yeah, cool, it's working. So for example, here we can have some simple view of the data after, like for example, editing it. I don't know if I can get to the results. So we can, normally Azure, what it will do, it's like, it will go ahead and do some quick analysis on it. Like we can have different views of the data also, which could maybe help on doing the transformation. Let's see if I can get this view to get up. Yeah, so again, no change in it. But feature hatching normally should give us the thing we want. And it's the one that it doesn't want to load. Yeah, unfortunately, somehow. It was my pleasure. I hope it was very useful to you guys. Anytime, my pleasure.
So, how do you pay for that?
How do?
How do you pay for that?
Yes, okay, so we'll try to draw something quickly on paint. Apparently it doesn't want to go through. Let's go with paint. Yeah, this paint is kind of new to me too. Okay, let's try to put it this way. So for example, I have the Twitter data, which is like the first coming from, let's put it with T here, yeah, okay. I don't know what letter is this, but let's imagine it's kind of a T. So the Twitter data coming thanks to the logic apps. Yeah, trying to write with my finger, not helping much. So imagine we have the logic apps, let me erase everything and start from scratch. This is like bullshit I'm saying here. Yeah, paint not gonna help. Let me just just tell you quickly. So we have the logic apps, which will go and fetch the Twitter data. And logic apps will go ahead and send this data as event hub, as events. Like wherever there is a new tweet, it will be sent as an event through Stream Analytics. True event hubs, exactly. To Stream Analytics. Yes. And after that, when it goes through Stream Analytics, here we can transform the data as we want and query the data as we want. In Stream Analytics, I will tell, for example, Azure, I have a function that helps me analyze my my text or do sentimental analysis. And I will, within this transformation query, I will tell, for example, I need the data regarding tweets, or maybe I don't need tweets anymore, I just want the sentiment regarding the tweets, whether people are happy or not. And maybe I will put, I will keep the username, and I will put the date, where the tweet was it created. After doing this query, I will input output the data through Power BI. And after outputting the data through Power BI, I will simply show different graphs that, let me like, bring up Power BI and show you some stuff that I have already done before. So for example, this is Azure Tweet. This is something that I have done a while before just to have some kind of data, but it doesn't have the ability to tell whether, I don't have the information for the sentiment. So here I simply have the data regarding the tweets. So I have the duration of the tweet. Well, it just takes seconds. Start time, so when the tweet was done. So I have all the data regarding that. I have also, I think the location somewhere here, duration, out time, tweet count, track, and so on. No, I don't have the location, but if I had, for example, the location, and I can come ahead and put, for example, my data is located here, here, and here. I have, for example, the count. I can say, for example, let's say, I will put here just a text box and set up my retweet count. So it has a box that says, okay, now tweet, yeah, there is it, tweet text. So here, for example, I can show the list of tweet text. Here I can put the tweet count, or maybe I can change it to a simple text box and say, okay, we have like 39 million tweets that were done. If only I had the location, we could see, for example, even the map from where the tweets came, each one of them. Sorry? Yeah. So we can set some graphs with status and everything. Well, this is Power BI, so we can simply choose different components from the gallery. We can even build our own components and use them for the visualization. Tell them, okay, here's the data I want to plot, and simply Power BI will come ahead and plot this data. Yes? Yes. Well, you can do actually the data analysis on-premise, but you need to install some software for that. If you want to do it on the cloud, yes, the data will need to go to the cloud platform, be analyzed there, and then maybe you can grab your results back or keep them on the cloud. So yes. But like as Microsoft, we're keeping the two options. Yes, please. A micro? Oh, yes. Okay, so first thing will be, so I will ask you a question. How are you going to capture the data locally? We're talking about a server microprocessor, right? Or a device? Or like any kind of a device microprocessor? If it's a server, this is something very easy, like whether you have Linux or Windows, you can simply get this data from the logs. And basically we'll take these logs and push them to the cloud and then do this kind of processing on them. Now, if it's device, you need to see if there is a kind of data extraction regarding the microprocessors. And then, depending, is it a device that you can see, easily connect to the internet? If it can't be connected to the internet, there are different ways on how you can connect it to the internet, or maybe put a centralized device that will acquire the data from different IoT components and then store them locally before uploading them to the cloud. So there are it's a bit tricky, but it depends on different architectures, different fields, and so on. If we are talking, for example, about the data mining field, there is not necessarily as internet in there. So it's basically not data mining, oh my god, gold mining or I don't know, some kind of mining fields or a career. You have these big machines and you will put some sensors here and there, maybe a sensor on the wheels, sensor on the engine to know the temperature of the engine, how many rotation does it do and the frequency of it and so on. And then you will have to gather this data somehow. Let's say that maybe you will use Bluetooth, maybe you will use radio frequency to send this data to a local place, which can be connected to the internet and then send the data there. Sorry? There are many tools for that. If we talk simply about the wireless technology, we can talk about LoRaWAN, for example, which is like a recent new technology that was deployed, which is a low radio frequency, and it started to be used a lot for IoT, even in UK, for example. You have Bluetooth, which is like, but it doesn't have a big range, whereas LoRaWAN has like a very wide range. We're talking about around 100 kilometers, something like that. You have simple radio frequency, and again, it will depend on the frequency you are using. There are a lot of technologies, and again, it will depend on the situation, on the context, and on the field. Well, somehow the function doesn't want to run, so I will.